welcome back. So we are ready to dive into the practice of all the limit setting examples that are given here. And in this section, it will probably be helpful for you to pause at certain points and write in your answers what you think you would respond as far as that ACT method goes. And then I'll actually go over some options and some answers with you together. But for your own practice, it will be helpful to pause so that you can write down some of the things that you think would be appropriate for these scenarios. So example number one, it's very similar to some of the other examples we've already had, but there's a twist. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking through that. So again, back to Billy and the bot bag. Before, he was shooting the bot bag with the darts because he was a bad guy. Well, this time he's been playing that the bot bag is a bad guy and he's been hitting him. So it went from shooting him with darts to hitting. Then he picks up the scissors, looks at you, laughs, and says, "I'm going to stab him because he's bad." Okay, so in both of those scenarios, the dart shooting at the bad guy scenario and this scenario with the scissors, if you notice, in both instances, he looks at the parent and then laughs. That gives you a really good indication of what's going on right there. Looking at you for a reaction and laughing because he's not sure how you're going to receive what he wants to do. So in both cases there, you know exactly that the child is trying to figure out, is this okay? So he says, "I'm going to stab him because he's bad." So you're going to right away do part one of limit setting, which is what? I'm sure you all said acknowledge the feeling. A. So you're going to acknowledge the feeling. "Billy, I know that you think it would be fun to stab the Bobo." Or, "I know you want to stab him because he's bad." Acknowledge what he wants, feels, thinks, wishes. Then you move into C, communicate the limit. So you set a neutral, calm, factual limit. But the bop bag isn't for poking with scissors. The Bobo isn't for stabbing with the scissors. Why? Because it's protecting property. We go back to the four reasons why we set a limit. If he stabs the bot bag with scissors, it will puncture and it will no longer be a bot bag. So protecting property means it warrants a limit. "Billy, I know that you want to stab the Bobo because he's bad, but the Bobo isn't for poking with scissors." A, C, final step is T, target the alternative. So you offer him another option. You can choose to stab him with the rubber knife. Notice, he wants to stab the guy because he's bad. So if you said, "You can poke the paper with the scissors," that the paper wasn't a bad guy. The paper isn't going to be stabbed. So it wasn't a poking desire. It was a stabbing the bad guy desire. So if he wants to stab the bad guy, the alternative is you can choose to stab him with the rubber knife, which A, can't puncture the bot bag, so it's an acceptable alternative to you. B, still allows him to stab the bad guy with a rubber knife, which is safe. So that's a really helpful differentiation because we get caught up in, oh, well, the only thing that I can think of for him to stab would be paper. Paper doesn't allow for stabbing a bad guy. So you always want to track it back to, what does the child really want? What is the child's desire? Then the alternative comes out of that. Okay, next example. The play session time is up. You have stated the limit twice. So you've already gone through two versions of ACT. Your child becomes angry because you will not give in and let him play longer, so he starts to hit you. So hitting is not allowed, obviously. You immediately go to communicate the limit. Once the child has already started doing a behavior that is not acceptable, you immediately go to the limit first, then you circle back to the ACT. So in this scenario, it's CACT. So we'll look through what that looks like. So you very firmly, because he's already started to hit you, you need to immediately set a limit on the behavior. So very firmly, you say, "Billy, I'm not for hitting." Then you calm your tone, you go back to empathic response, and you say, I know you're mad at me. You acknowledge the feeling. I know you wish we could play longer. I know you're upset our playtime is over. So firm communication of the limit back to calm acknowledgement of the feeling. I know that you're upset, but people are not for hitting. That's the communication of the limit the second time. Then you target the alternative. You can pretend the bot bag is me and hit the bot bag. So you want to hit something, you want to show me how mad you are, pretend that is me and you can hit that. So in that scenario, you go C-A-C-T because he was already hitting. Now, if he raised back his fist like this and was contemplating hitting you, you don't have to lead with C. You say, I know you're mad at me right now, but people are not for hitting. But if he's already in the process of hitting you, then you lead with the C. Okay, so here is where it gets a little tricky because now you're going to have to test your skills here. I know you can do it though. Okay, so your first practice scenario is your child begins to color on the dollhouse saying, it needs some red curtains. Now, in the parentheses there, it says, this is assuming you bought a dollhouse. If you, in the toy list, it says that you can use like a shoebox or a cardboard box to make a dollhouse with. So obviously, if it's a homemade cardboard dollhouse, it doesn't really matter. They want to add red curtains. If it is a purchased dollhouse that costs money and you want to keep it some semblance of nice, you might set a limit on that. So starts to color on the dollhouse. Let's say it's with a red Sharpie because that would be a little more offensive than a red crayon on a plastic dollhouse, for example. So red Sharpie says it needs some red curtains. Okay, so you're going to go through your ACT process. So they actually gave you the first part of the sentence as a gift to you. So I know you really want to. So you're acknowledging the feeling. It needs some red curtains. I know you really want to. You can pause me if you'd like while you write. I know you really want to put curtains on the dollhouse. Or I know you really want the house to have red curtains. Okay, so then you move on to the communication of the limit. They gave you the first few, but the dollhouse, here's where there's an important note. The process of setting the limit can change based on, it doesn't change, but the implication of what you say as a limit changes based on the words that you use. Let me explain what that means. When we say the dollhouse is not for coloring on, that is neutral, is not for, is in the midst of that phrase. This is not for this. A is not for B. Or A is for B. So, paper is for coloring on. The dollhouse is not for coloring on. So A is not for B or A is for B is a very neutral way to set the limit. Next week, we're going to get into the misinterpretations of the things that we say if we don't use this neutral limit setting process. So is not for should be worked into almost all of your limits. So the dollhouse is not for coloring on. The reason why we say is not for is that you're not wrong for wanting to, it's just that this is not for this. So we'll talk a lot about that next week, so hold that thought, but just when you go through these examples, try as much as possible to put A is not for B in your limits. So the dollhouse is not for coloring on. And then T, you're going to target an alternative, offer an acceptable option. So in that scenario, you can do what? You can, here is where a lot of parents struggle because they will say, you can color on the paper instead because you just said the dollhouse is not for coloring on. So often they'll say, you can color on paper instead. But I'm going to challenge you to go back and see what the child needs, what the child wants, what's their desire. I'm sure you just said it, red curtains. So the child does not want to color on the dollhouse. We get caught up in assuming things about our child's motivations. And it takes work and intentionality and practice to dive in and say, no, they don't just want to color on the dollhouse. They're not just trying to deface the house by coloring red all over it. She wants red curtains. So with that in mind, you can choose to make red curtains on the paper and tape them on the dollhouse. Because she wants curtains, she doesn't want to color. So you want to offer an alternative that allows for her to have curtains. You can choose to find something else red and use that for curtains. I had one mom that always had pipe cleaners as part of her play toys, and she said, you can choose to make red curtains out of pipe cleaners and put them on the house. And I was like, yes, because you're still giving her the option of having red curtains. So that one is a little hard because the go-to is you can color on paper instead or some other alternative that doesn't really go back to the child wanting curtains. So, all right, I think you handled that one pretty well. Now, this one is an easy one because we've covered this several times. So they're gonna help you do an easy one before we move into harder ones here. So your child aims a loaded dart gun at you. So it's already loaded, it's cocked, it's ready to shoot, and it's aimed right at your head. And you have to be safe. Child has to be safe, toys can't be broken. You have to be able to accept them. I'm pretty sure you probably would not accept getting shot in the face, and that means that you're not safe. So both warrant a limit. So you would say, A, acknowledge the feeling. So that would look like, Johnny, I know you'd like to shoot the gun at me. Okay, then you will communicate the limit. Remember, A is not for B. But people aren't for shooting. Okay, and then T, target the alternative. You can choose to shoot at the target or the baby doll. So I know you want to shoot, so go ahead and shoot. It's just not at me because people aren't for shooting. All right, I think that one was an easy one because we've rehearsed that a little bit before. So now we're going to move into a couple more that are a little more complicated. So flip your sheet, you will see numbers 3, 4, and 5, and we will go through those. So number 3, after 15 minutes of the playtime, in other words, you're only halfway through, your child announces she wants to leave and go outside and play with her friends. So she's had enough, she's decided she's done, and she just wants to get up and leave. So you're going to A, acknowledge the feeling. So you could say, I know you want to go play with your friends. Or, I know you'd really like to go outside right now. Just acknowledge what she wants to do. Then you will see, communicate the limit. Write down what you think you might say for the limit. Remember, A is not for B. So that might look like, our playtime isn't over yet, or we still have 15 minutes of our special playtime. Or our playtime, if you want to use the is not for example, it would be our playtime is not for leaving early. So you set a neutral limit. We have 15 minutes left. You're not wrong for wanting to go play with your friends. We just still have playtime left. Okay, and then T, target the alternative. Write down what you think you would say there. Okay, so in that scenario, you can say, you can choose to go out and see your friends in 15 minutes. Or you can choose to go outside when our playtime is over. So you always want to follow that ACT steps. I'm acknowledging your feeling, I'm communicating the limit, I'm targeting the alternative. All right, I hope this is starting to sink in and gel a little bit. After you practice it a lot, it gets easier. So the more you rehearse this in your head, the better. Okay, number 4, Your child wants to play doctor and asks you to be the patient. Your child asks you to pull up your shirt so that they can listen to your heart. Okay, this is one that usually causes some confusion, and it can be a little bit tricky to figure out the ins and outs of this scenario. So don't be hard on yourself if you don't get it right away. So once the play doctor asks you to be the patient, asks you to pull up your shirt so they can listen to your heart. The disclaimer is, if you're a dad, I'm pretty sure you're going, who cares? I would just pull up my shirt. So assuming in this scenario, whether you're male or female, you need to set a limit on your shirt being pulled up for whatever reason. It makes you feel uncomfortable. You just don't want that to be part of the play session. Just go with the assumption that you don't want your shirt to be pulled up. Okay, obviously for females it makes more sense. But in this scenario, we're operating on the assumption that it would need a limit. Okay? So you're going to A, acknowledge the feeling. So right there, you would say, I know you want me to pull up my shirt like at the doctor's office. Here's why you say, I know you want me to pull up my shirt like the doctor's office. Because often parents will say, I know you want to listen to my heart. Well, yes, that is what they want to do, but that's not about the limit. So you want to make sure that this is all connected. So I know you want to pull up my shirt. Why do they want to pull up your shirt? They don't want to pull up your shirt just to pull up your shirt. They're pulling up your shirt because they're modeling what they've seen at the doctor. So they are copying what they know a doctor does. So I know you want me to pull up my shirt like at the doctor's office. That is a complete acknowledgement of feeling. You're not wrong for wanting to. I understand why you do. So I'm just going to meet you where you are. I know you want to pull up my shirt like at the doctor. Okay, so then C, communicate the limit. But A is not for B. So what would you put there? My shirt is not for pulling up. Because it's not that you don't want them to listen to your heart. It's not that you don't want them to pretend that they're the doctor. It's not that you don't want them to have you as the patient. It's just that your shirt is not for pulling up. So that can be a little bit tricky too, because sometimes parents will say, often they will say, I don't feel comfortable with you pulling up my shirt. That's typically how they'll set a limit there. I don't feel comfortable. Well, that's about your feeling, and that's not neutral. Because then they're going to try to convince you that it's okay. No, mommy, it's fine. I just have to do it like the real doctor does. And then you get into a power struggle. But if you say, my shirt isn't for pulling up, it's just neutral and it's factual. Okay, so then T, target the alternative. What would you write there? You're going to offer an acceptable solution or an alternative. So there, this is also a tricky one because parents will often offer options that don't meet the original desire. So remember, they're playing doctor, you're the patient, and they need to listen to your heart, so they want to pull up your shirt. So in that scenario, you would say, you can choose to listen to my heart through my shirt. Because if the child genuinely just wants to hear your heartbeat, that can be done through the shirt. If your child genuinely wants to pretend to be a real doctor and lift the shirt up and put the stethoscope underneath the shirt against the skin, that means they have to have an alternative for that. So you could say, or you can choose to pretend that the doll is me and pull its shirt up. Or you can choose to use the teddy bear as your patient and pull the teddy bear's shirt up. So depending on what the child really needs, is it just, I want to be a doctor and listen to your heart? And I know you probably will not have a genuine stethoscope, but play therapists will often have genuine stethoscopes in their rooms. And so you actually can hear the heartbeat through the shirt. Even if they don't have an actual stethoscope, obviously pretend play and imaginative play is at work here. So they can hear the heartbeat pretend through your shirt too. So if it's just, I want to hear your heartbeat, you can choose to listen to my heartbeat through my shirt. If it's, I really want to pull the shirt up and actually have the stethoscope on bare skin, then it's, you can choose to pretend that the doll is your patient and pull the doll's shirt up, or a teddy bear, or whatever else has a shirt that they can use as, you know, a stand-in for you. So I hope that that makes sense. I hope that you're seeing how it works. Very simple. Acknowledge the feeling, communicate a neutral limit, offer an acceptable alternative, and make sure your alternative goes back to the original intent of the child. Make sure that your limit is neutral. A is not for B. So once you have those things, you will be able to set limits all day long and you will see how effective they are. So number five, you can actually discuss this with your therapist when you meet in your synchronous group. Write down a situation you think you may need to set a limit during your play session. You know your children, you know what they are likely to struggle with, you know what you may have to prepare for as far as setting limits. So think about a scenario where you may need to set a limit during the session. Write that in, and then write down your prospective limit. So you will acknowledge their feeling about whatever it is, you'll communicate the neutral limit, and you'll target the alternative. Okay, so that wraps up our week four limit setting. I am going in the next video to go over your homework with you, so I will see you then.